This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
In case you have not heard, the St. Patrick's Day Parade on Saturday has been, I would use the word suspended because I don't know that it's been canceled or postponed because I don't know when they're going to have it, but they're negotiating or at least talking with NOPD to see when that can happen. That's the Irish Channel St. Patrick's Day Parade because the risk of severe weather has increased for Saturday afternoon. Today and tomorrow will be very nice. Highs of 81 today, 80 tomorrow, then in severe weather on Saturday. Sunday, beautiful. Highs of 70, plenty of sunshine. St. Patrick's Day itself, beautiful. Highs of 72 and plenty of sunshine. Let's talk about Medicaid and waste and fraud and abuse. Chris McGee joins us now, data analytics manager with the Louisiana Legislative Auditor's Office. How you doing, Chris?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm okay. I bet you're pretty good at math.
I do like numbers.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think this would be that. Let's talk about this Medicaid report that you worked on and what it found, because nobody wants waste in government. Nobody wants fraud in Medicaid. Nobody wants abuse in Medicaid. We do want people that can't provide for themselves or can't get medical care or can't afford it to get it. If they don't get it, then ultimately they go to the emergency room and we all end up paying for it one way or the other. I don't mean to make this more than it seems to be, but tell me about the report and what led to it and what you found.
Yeah, so we actually started this project because we were conducting another project and really stumbled upon how big this program was and really how LDH had not really overseen how the program was spending its funds and how these funds were actually ultimately leading to better outcomes for Medicaid beneficiaries. So we actually started a project that we didn't plan to start based on some of the risks that we saw.
So let me take a step back, if I can, Chris, just for a minute, so we all understand, because some of us that don't have anything to do with Medicaid don't quite understand who gets it. When you talk about money, and you're talking about a bucket of money here for Medicaid, a different bucket of money, specific buckets of money within Medicaid, and then where does LDH, Louisiana Department of Hospitals, come in and their role in overseeing all of this? I'm just trying to get an overall view, first of all.
Yeah, so what LDH has done and what the state of Louisiana has done over the last 10-plus years is attempt to increase the quality of care delivered in the state. The first step in this was moving to managed care, which has private insurance companies manage the care of Medicaid beneficiaries. In 2018, 2019 or so, the state decided that it could use this additional bucket of money, this $2.4 billion that we analyzed in our audit, to further increase the mission of increasing outcomes for Medicaid beneficiaries.
Let me jump in for a second. Where'd that $2.4 billion come from? Federal government?
Yeah, so approximately $1.9 billion were federal government funds, and the remainder were not actually state general funds. They were what are known as intergovernmental transfers, mm-hmm. which were provided by three hospitals in the state.
So that was private money or not?
These are technically public entities. It's LSU Health Sciences Center in New Orleans, the old Leonard J. Chabert, which is now known as SRMC, and then Hospital Service District Number 1 in Terrebonne.
Okay, and again, I'm not trying to get too far in the weeds, but as I always say, if you play golf for money, you know that's where most of the cheating goes on. Not that I'm saying there's any cheating here. I'm just saying that's why sometimes things get complex and there are no simple solutions to complex problems. Please proceed, Chris.
Yeah, so what we really found as we started looking into this program is that while on the surface the intentions are good in terms of improving outcomes for Medicaid beneficiaries, what we really found is that a lot of these dollars are not making it down to the hospitals who are providing the care to the Medicaid beneficiaries. A lot of dollars are being used to pay back those hospitals that put up the money in the first place, and also for other administrative and other expenses that don't directly affect the care of Louisiana citizens.
Okay, I'm confused. The hospitals put up the money in the first place. Where'd they get that money?
So they get it from the money they have in their bank accounts.
Public-private money?
Yeah, really they had to have some money available to put it up in the first place. And through basically a method of they put up the money once it's determined that they have met certain conditions, and then federal money and their own money that they put up in the first place goes back to them. And so then that money is continuously used to fund the IGT portion of this program.
IGT being?
Intergovernmental transfer.
Gotcha. Okay. So is there anything amiss with them, the money being paid back to them? That's what got my attention.
The GAO and the federal government have not said that that is improper. What we found, though, is the way that that's being done for one of the quality networks really is going back to refund that money they put up in the first place. But what we found for the other network is that in addition to those funds going back to those hospitals, additional money is going back to those hospitals, which reduces the money that's available for the rest of the hospitals in the network who are doing the work on the ground to improve quality of care.
Okay, let's let our eyes deglaze for a moment. And again, Chris, this is not a reflection on you.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
This is just complicated stuff, and people think, you know, it's simple. Just go in with a chainsaw and cut this, cut that. And that's not to say that there isn't waste and abuse and fraud, but it gets very complex when you get into the details of this. And that's what we're trying to sort through. Chris McGee, Data Analytics Manager with Louisiana Legislative Auditor's Office. The Louisiana Health Department failed to oversee parts of the state Medicaid program. I wanted to get some context on this. We'll try to get to actually what happens from here when we return. 722 traffic now, WWL. All right, 727, Tommy Tucker, WWO. Quickly back to Chris McGee, data analytics manager with Louisiana Legislative Auditor's Office, about a new report, Louisiana Department of Health failing to properly oversee about $2.4 billion in Medicaid spending. Chris, it's complicated stuff. We got 3 minutes left. If you can, please try to summarize and give me who was doing what, what should have been done, and who did it affect, and what can be done to fix it from here, or what needs to be done?
Yeah, so ultimately, this is a Medicaid program, and it's LDH's responsibility. And so we found that the funds in this program were not being used for their intended purpose. The intended purpose was to improve access to care, improve quality, and enhance health. And LDH was not properly overseeing the MCOs and all the entities involved to ensure this program did that. So what is good to report out, though, is as soon as we started making the Department of Health aware of these issues, they did start redesigning the program to address the issues that we found and pointed out. And I do think, based on the changes that they are currently working on, that this program really should focus more in the future on ensuring that the milestones in the program, what the program's trying to achieve, truly do have a measurable impact on Medicaid beneficiaries, ensuring that additional dollars, or the majority of the dollars, truly make it out to all the hospitals across the state who participate in this program, so they can provide better quality services to the individuals that they see.
Let me ask it this way. Who got the money, and who? What were the results of those not getting the money or the help that should have?
Yeah, the biggest takeaway from the money perspective is that a lot of the dollars weren't making it down to the hospitals. So a lot of the dollars were going back to pay back those hospitals who put up the funds in the first place. And then a lot of dollars in one of the networks was being kept for administrative purposes and management costs, for paying back other hospitals for incurring certain expenses, really just not following the actual outcomes themselves. And so I think by redesigning the program and ensuring that dollars truly follow increased outcomes, the program will serve the residents of Louisiana in a better way.
I only a minute, not even a minute left, 20 seconds. Criminal activity, asleep at the switch, mismanagement, how would you characterize this?
I think a lack of oversight. I think if the program is overseen at a better level from LDH and the MCOs, that these dollars will be spent in the proper manner.
And the reimbursement that happened that perhaps should not have happened, that's just playing according to the rules, and the rules were in favor, like, you know, going back to golf, where sometimes rules help you, sometimes they hurt you. This was not illegal. It was done according to the rules, but the rules shouldn't have been that way?
Yeah, I think that we didn't find any evidence of any illegal activity. What we found is that redesigning the program and overseeing it better would lead to better results.
Thank you, Chris. Complicated stuff, but we understand it. I think Chris McGee, data analytics manager with Louisiana Legislative Auditor's Office. We'll take a break, come back, talk about UNO moving into the LSU system. Minute late, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave. 46, 14 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Nice weather till Saturday. Then it turns beautiful, but maybe some rough weather on Saturday. We'll keep you apprised of everything you need to know here on WWL. I am a graduate of UNO, as is Newell Norman, Diane Newman, the boss lady around here, a lot of other people. And UNO's done a lot. Clancy Dubose, I think, is the first guy to say that UNO built the middle class in New Orleans. They are struggling, though, and now there's some talk of moving it from, well, let's find out what they're going to move it from, as we talk to Piper Hutchison, who is a reporter for Louisiana Illuminator. Good morning, Piper. How are you?
Doing great, Tommy. How are you?
Piper Hutchison. I didn't mean to mispronounce your name. I graduated from UNO, Piper, but I don't quite understand what the difference is between the LSU system and where UNO is now. So let's start there if we can. They're in the UL system now?
The University of Louisiana system, yes. The state has four different higher education systems, LSU, the UL system, the Southern system, and the community college system. And now there's talk of moving UNO from the UL system back to the LSU system, where it was for the majority of its history.
When did it change? When did it become UL? Do you know?
It was moved into the UL system in 2011.
Okay, so when I graduated, it was definitely part of the LSU system. Do you know what the reason was for moving it to the UL system?
You know, in 2011, there were a lot of budget problems for higher education, and there was some feelings that UNO was kind of overshadowed in the LSU system, with LSU being the flagship university and a major research institution. Now, UNO is also a research institution, but it's a tier lower than LSU. And there was some feeling that it made more sense for UNO to be in the UL system with other R2 institutions and regional universities.
Made sense to whom, Piper?
You know, the legislators who were debating this, you know, some boosters as well, felt that it made more sense to move UNO to the UL system. You know, what's interesting is that this move in 2011 came after a bill failed that would have merged UNO with Southern New Orleans. Mm-hmm.
So what was the result? I'm trying to figure out what was the advantage here, because I know I'm reading your story here at the Illuminator that at the time, UNO alumni boosters applauded the plan because they thought it was overshadowed by the LSU system. But I don't know what that actually means, overshadowed. As long as, and again, let's talk about the importance of being a research institution, because it would seem to me if LSU as the parent would be able to provide UNO with the resources that they need, that's the primary function, right? Or am I missing something here?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't around in 2011. You know, I started reporting in 2021, so I couldn't give you all of the details about what the arguments were. But, you know, reading the old stories about this, it kind of, to me, reminds me of how LSU Shreveport supporters kind of feel that that university is overshadowed by the main campus. There's always going to be like a little feeling of tension between some of the smaller universities and the main campus, the flagship university that's going to get, you know, more money, more attention, more research dollars.
Well, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here. And again, I am an LSU graduate, but a UNO graduate, rather, but for whatever reason, branding, LSU is always going to be known as Baton Rouge. Isn't that pretty much the case? I don't know if you're a reporter. I don't know if you want to make that determination or not, but I'll say that. It would seem as though LSU, when you say LSU, people automatically think Tiger Stadium, Baton Rouge, Tigers, etc. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Piper Hutchinson, reporter for Louisiana Illuminator. If UNO does get moved back into the LSU system, what would that mean? Would it be good or bad for the university funding, etc.? 751, 9 till 9. And what do the legislators think about it? Traffic now, WWL. 756 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Piper Hutchinson, a talented reporter with Louisiana Illuminator. She wrote a story about a letter that House Speaker Philip DeVilliers and Senate President Cameron Henry jointly signed to the Regents Chairwoman Misty Cordell about UNO. We reached out to both of those legislators, and we're not able to come on. Hopefully we'll have one of them on next week. I think Newell the other day spoke to DeVilliers. Meanwhile, Piper Hutchinson, what are the legislators asking the Regents to do?
They're asking Regents to study the possibility of moving UNO from the LSU system to the UL system, which is something that is required by state law to happen before any kind of movement takes place.
So did they explain why they wanted this to happen?
The letter doesn't go into that detail. I did speak to Speaker DeVilliers about it, and he told me, you know, they're not dead set on this happening. They just want to look into the possibility. But he also gave me the impression that this is something that had come from Senator Henry, and I have not yet had a chance to talk to him about his thoughts on this. I've reached out but haven't yet heard back.
So do you know if the end game here is to keep UNO viable and that it would be, I guess, beneficial to UNO were it to go back into the LSU system?
Yes, I think that's something they want to try to figure out, if this move would be better for UNO while it's struggling.
And what happens from here?
So the Board of Regents has a year to conduct this study and make a report to the legislature. From the letter, it sounds like they want results before then. But even if they do get those results, there won't be any sort of legislation to do this until next year.
Any final thoughts, Piper? Anything we're missing before we let you go?
You know, I think this is just going to be something interesting to watch. You know, for me, it was notable that the UL system president had not been consulted before this letter was sent. So I think it'll be interesting. Maybe the question is whether this is something coming from the LSU system. That's not something I've been able to determine, as my LSU sources have not responded to my questions about this.
What did UNO say about it?
I spoke to UL System President Rick Gallo, who said, you know, they hadn't been talked to about this, but that they would, of course, provide any information necessary. And, you know, they trust legislative leadership to do whatever is right for the university.
So UNO deferred to UL, correct?
I try to go to the man at the top whenever I can.
I hear you. That makes sense. Thank you, Piper. Appreciate your time and your work. We'll talk to you again soon. We'll take a break, come back, talk about Medicare Advantage enrollment periods. Back in a flash, WWL.